tuned to Yesterday, bringing you programs from radio's golden years. Welcome, I'm your host, Mark Levonier. In this hour, two Western shows. Later on, it's Tales of the Texas Rangers, but right now, a classic broadcast of Wild Bill Hickok with Guy Madison and Andy Devine. This episode first heard on January 12, 1953, on the Mutual Broadcasting System called Wagon Train for Tombstone.
Hold on to your hat, because here comes another rootin' tootin' Wild Bill Hickok adventure, starring Guy Madison as Wild Bill and Andy Devine as his pal Jingle. You'll hear the exciting story, Wagon Train for Tombstone, right after this message.
In the days before the railroads, huge freight wagon trains supplied the towns of the frontier. United States Marshal Wild Bill Hickok and his big deputy Jingles often had to protect these wagon trains, but seldom did they find this assignment as dangerous as when they guarded the wagon train for Tombstone.
Hey, Bill! All the wagons are lined up. They'll be starting any minute now.
That's good, Jingles. I'd like to get as far along the trail as we can the first day.
Yeah, it's going to be a long trip, all the way to Tombstone, Arizona.
Yep, and a lot of things can happen before we get there.
Now, don't say that, Bill. Just about anything that can happen is bound to be trouble, and I don't like trouble.
Well, that's what we're going along for, Jingles, to see that trouble doesn't happen.
Oh, here comes Captain Wilson. Hey, Bill, he looks a little worried.
Well, he's in command of the whole train, Jingles. That's a big responsibility.
Good. Howdy, Bill, Jingles.
Howdy, Captain. Well, all ready to roll, huh?
I think so. Don't mind saying I'll be glad when the whole kit and caboodle is delivered in Tombstone.
No, there ain't nothing to worry about, Captain. Bill and I ain't worried, are we, Bill? Are we?
Huh? Not too much, Jingles. We've been on these trips before.
Sure, we've fought off Indians, swam rivers, cured sick mules, fixed busted wagons. We'll get you through.
Oh, we'll have our share of those things. We're used to them. This time we've got something else to watch out for.
What's that, Captain?
Move your horses in close so nobody will hear this.
Move over that buck, Captain.
Come on, get around, joke around, I want to hear.
What's up, Captain?
Well, Bill, early this morning, the Army put $30,000 in gold coin on that blue wagon there in the middle of the line.
Ooh-wee, that's a lot of money.
Now, you bet it is. It's payroll money for the camps and forts down in Arizona.
Anybody know it's there except you?
Nope. Three officers loaded it. Got a receipt for me and left.
How's it tied?
In plain boxes.
Then we'll just pretend it's Army supplies and say nothing to anybody about it.
That's what I figured to do.
Sure, we'll just keep it a big fat secret.
Well, I'm afraid it isn't a secret, Jingles.
Well, why not? You and me and Bill ain't gonna tell nobody what's in those boxes.
No, but I took a look at that wagon just a minute ago. Somebody'd forced the lock on the tailgate and pried up the corner of one of the money boxes to have a look inside.
And the secret's out already.
It sure is. Whoever did the snooping is one of the 50 men that'll be driving with us all the way to Arizona.
Just waiting his chance to get away with that gold.
Any idea who it might be?
Oh, not a bit. Out of 50 wranglers and mule skinners, there might be a half a dozen or more crooks. They're all a pretty tough bunch.
Well, we can't hold up the start while we look them all over. Give the signal to move out, Captain, and we'll keep our eyes peeled for trouble.
I got a hunch it'll hit us sooner or later, Bill. Well.
Oh, boy.
Well, there you are, Bill. I just had a hunch this was going to be a trouble trip.
Looks like you're right, too, Jingles. That much gold can start a mighty big ruckus.
Miles of trail to ride. Let's go, Buckshot.
Move, Joker. Every one of those 1,000 miles, we've got to keep an eye on that blue wagon and keep waiting for the shooting to start.
While the wagons roll westward to Tombstone, Wild Bill and Jingles keep a constant watch on the blue wagon loaded with $30,000 in gold and keep a lookout for the desperate men riding with the train who plan to steal the wagon and its valuable cargo.
Hey, give get along, Joker. It's a long ways to Arizona.
It sure is, and I'm wondering how far we have to go before the trouble starts.
Oh, there you go, Bill, expecting trouble. Well, I'd rather not worry about it till it happens.
When you're hired as a guard, you have to expect trouble, Jingles.
All right. I'd rather not worry about worrying. Well, it's worrying scares me. I'd rather just sing my worries away. Oh, Susanna, don't you cry for me. I'm a-going to Arizona with the banjo on my knee.
That's California, Jingles.
Well, I changed it to Arizona because that's where we're going.
Hey, Jingles.
Well, what's the matter, Bill?
A blue wagon is pulling out of line.
The one with the gold in it?
Yeah. Let's go talk to the driver. Get over that buckshot.
Move, Joker. Let's see what's up.
That fellow Blackie that's driving that wagon bothers me, Jingles.
He bothers me, too. He don't seem very happy with his job. Whoa, Joker.
Whoa, boy. What's the trouble, Blackie?
No trouble, Hickok. Just stopped to cool out the horses and roll myself a cigarette.
I've got orders to keep that wagon of yours in line. You better get it rolling again.
I don't care what your orders are. I'm driving this rig, and I'll stop anytime I please.
Well, my, ain't he touchy,
though. I said, get your wagon back in line. We got to keep everybody together.
Look, you tin badge marshal, we might as well settle one thing right now. I don't like the way you've been riding herd on me. And I'm going to teach you to mind your own business right now.
Well, now, this ought to be right. And look out, Bill!
Look and try that, Blackie.
Pretty good, Blackie.
Maybe this will show you.
Who's bought it? Give him a couple of more, Bill. He asked for it. I'm going to... Well, that settled that. Well, I think he was about to say something, Bill, when he ran into that last punch.
I think he's through talking for a while, Jingles. Come on, Blackie, get up and get that wagon rolling again.
All right, Hickok, you win this time. But you're going to look for more trouble before we get to Tombstone.
Yeah, you know something, Bill, I think maybe he's right.
Out of the train out here in a paddling.
Easy, Joker, easy. Hi,
Blackie, how you doing?
Pretty good, Jingles. This rocky road is sure rough on wagons.
Yeah, yours holding up okay?
I'm not sure. If you see Jerry Flagg, the blacksmith, while you're riding the line, have him come over and give a look at it, will you?
Sure, he's just back here a little ways. I'll get him for you.
Thanks.
Get around, Joker. Let's go get Jerry.
Seems like he spends a lot of time making sure that this wagon is all right. So innocent of fun. Thinks I don't know what I'm hauling in this blue rig. Well, Jingles and that slick-looking Marshal Hickok are in for a real surprise. And soon. Here up there, stay in line for a little while longer anyway.
Oh, boy. Hiya, Blackie. You sent for me?
Here, Jerry. I hit a big rock back there. Take a look at that off hind wheel, will you? It feels sort of funny.
Yeah, looks kind of funny, too. Wobbling a bit. Maybe you better pull out and stop a minute, eh?
Yeah, maybe I'd better. Oh, get around there, you critters.
Where's Hickok and Jingles?
Heading this way, and so's Captain Wilson.
Yeah.
Well, you got time to bust out that spoke now. Hurry.
All right.
I'll let you know when they get too close.
Yeah. This is going to work slicker than a grease pig.
Yeah, well, it works before you start throwing. Hickok is a smart one. He's plenty suspicious.
This wheel's going to fool him when I get through with it.
Hurry up. Here they come.
I'm ready for them. All right, jump down. Be looking at the wheel. Come on.
Oh, easy, boy.
Oh, Joker, ho.
Hi, Jerry. Blackie, what's up?
Hey, two busted spokes, Bill. Blackie says he hit a big rock back there.
Yeah, they're busted all right. That wheel would have caved right in before long.
I sure don't want to drive that rig anymore till we get that fixed.
Here comes Captain Wilson. He's in command here. We'll see what he wants to do about it.
Too bad it had to happen right here. It's only a couple of miles to where we're going to camp for the night.
Oh, boy. Hey, what's wrong, Blackie?
Busted a couple of spokes, Captain.
Can't you just drive it over to the river? We're going to camp there.
Why, I don't think he'd better, Captain. That wheel's got to be fixed.
How long will it take?
Oh, not more than a half hour, if I have some help.
We'll help you, Jerry.
I guess we might as well, Captain. We've got to get the wagon train bedded down for the night.
Yeah, you go ahead. Bill and I'll stay here with Jerry and Blackie and bring them on into camp.
Hey, that's fine. I'll chop a couple of spokes out of that old log over there, and we'll have this rig rolling again in no time.
I guess it's all right. Well,
I'll be getting along. Keep your eyes open, Bill. I can't afford to lose this blue wagon.
Huh. Wonder what he meant by that. You'd think this wagon was loaded with gold or something.
Yeah, you would, wouldn't you?
Jingles.
Huh? Oh, yeah. Well, let's get to work on that old busted wheel.
How you coming, Jerry?
Well, that's about the last of it, Bill. Yeah, look at that. It's about as good as a new wheel, huh?
Well, it sure looks like a good job.
Yeah. All right, now. Let's get her back on. Want to give me a hand, Jingles? Wheel's kind of heavy.
Sure. Now, let me get a hold here.
I got a hold there.
Yeah.
Now, you want to help me, Blackie?
Sure, I'll help you. Get your hands up, Hickok!
Bill!
Ah, the fool, he was too slow.
Bill, look out!
Well,
both of you made the same mistake trying to shoot faster than Bill.
You're not hurting much, either one of you. Jingles, get some rope out of the wagon and tie him up.
I had him cold, Jerry. He was watching you and Jingles.
Ah, shut up! Told you to watch out for that draw of his.
Don't worry, Blackie. I was watching you every minute. When I first looked at that broken wheel, I knew it was done by a hammer, not a rock.
So that's it. The whole breakdown was planned to try to get away
Jingles.
With
it.
Don't worry, Hickok. We know what's in those boxes.
Sure we do. We'd have had it by now with a little luck.
Your luck's run out. I'm going to get you tied up and then turn you over to this bunch of riders coming up from the camp.
Yeah, five of them. You wouldn't have gotten the gold out of the wagon before they'd have been here and caught you right in the act.
Yeah, that's more bad luck.
Yeah, more bad luck. Now put your hands behind you.
Looks like Salty's leading the bunch, Jingles.
Yeah, they're really busting it. Probably heard the shooting.
Who there? Hey, what's going on here?
Hiya, Salty. Well, these two varmints thought they'd run off with this wagon, and it's freight. I had to discourage them.
Well, I'll be darned.
Well, Blackie's got a slug in his shoulder, and Jerry's got a shot-up hand. But Bill wasn't trying to drop him.
Nice shooting, Bill. We'll take care of him. Cover him, men.
That won't be necessary. They haven't got their guns.
I said cover him. How about it, Hickok? You got five guns against your one. Why don't you just slip that hog leg back in your holster?
So that's it. You're all in on this, too.
That's it. Nice work, Salty. You really fooled them.
You dirty salamanders.
Oh, shut up, Jingles. I'd like nothing better than to put a slug right in your big gizzard.
Get out the talk and get busy. I'm taking over here now. Take them ropes and tie Hickok and Jingles tight.
All right, Salty.
Break out that gold. Spread it around in your saddlebag so nobody has too heavy a load.
Yeah.
And take those two horses, Buckshot and Joker, and tie them to some strong picket pins. They're almost smart enough to follow us without their riders. Come on, move. We got to get the stuff and be on the way to the hideout before Captain Wilson and the rest of them find out what's happened.
Yeah, let's hurry it up.
Doggone it, Bill. Looks like they're going to get away with it. I knew something was going to happen on this trip.
All right. Stop wiggling, you big horse. I'm trying to get these knots tightened up.
Well, you got them plenty tight already.
Are you coming with that gold, men?
Well, we're moving it as fast as we can.
Well, get it all. None of us will have to be skinning mules and wrangling wagons for a long time with that loot to spend.
What do you want to bet you don't get a chance to spend any of it?
And if that big ape keeps talking, Jerry, go ahead and shoot him. It's all right with me.
No. I wasn't saying a word, honest. I was just remarking about what a nice, pretty day it is.
Looks like we got it all, Salty. Let's hit the trail.
Yeah, let's get moving. You got those two tied up, Jerry?
Yeah, like a calf in a rodeo. Let's go.
All right, man. Hit the horses. Let's ride.
Well, there they go, Bill. And here we are, roped and hog-tied.
No use crying about it. Let's get loose and fall into that hideout they were talking about before they can cover the trail up.
Oh, get loose, he says. Bill Hickok, you aren't going to wiggle out of this one until Captain Wilson gets here and cuts us loose.
The gold was stolen from the blue wagon. And while Bill and Jingles were tightly tied and left at the scene of the crime, Jingles thinks they'll have to wait for Captain Wilson to cut them loose. But Bill has other ideas.
Boy, they really tied me up tight, Jingles. How about you?
No, I can hardly wiggle. Why don't we just relax, Bill?
Because we got to get on their trail as soon as we can. They have a hideout near here. That means they know the country pretty well. And they've probably figured out how to lose us if we trail them.
All right, but we can't even stand up. How are we going to get loose?
Buckshot, come here, boy.
Oh, he can't do it, Bill. They tied Buckshot and Joker, too.
Come on, Buckshot.
Hey, he's going to try to pull that picket pin.
He might just do it, too.
Well, he's working it loose.
Back the other way, Buckshot. That's it.
Bill, he's loose. Here he comes.
Atta boy, Buckshot. Come on, boy. All right, get around behind me.
Look at him go right for those ropes.
When I snap my fingers, he starts nibbling at my hands to see if I got any sugar for him.
Well, now that's cute. But he can't untie knots.
Sometimes he can. But if he can, he'll chew that rope in two.
You know, Solly was right when he said Buckshot had sense enough to follow him. Hey, you know, maybe we ought to make our horses deputies, too. Well, we're gaining on them, Bill. They're heading for that rocky ridge on the other side of the valley.
Yeah. We got to catch them before they get there and make them stand and fight.
Two of us are going to fight seven of them out in this open valley?
That's the only way to hold them till Captain Wilson and his men catch up to us.
But there ain't even a rock to hide behind.
Now, I can't help it, Jingles. If they ever get up there in those hills, they'll scatter out and drift over the border, one by one, and we'll never find them.
And if we stop them before they get into the hills, we stand a good chance of getting shot.
But we may get the gold back that way, and that's our job.
Oh, what kind of a job is that? I wish I'd have never started for Tombstone.
Hey, look at that dust cloud behind us, Jingles. Captain Wilson and his men are following the trail, all right.
Good. I got just one thing I'd like to tell them.
Yeah, what's that?
Hurry!
We must be in rifle range now, Jingles. I'm going to see if I can stop those owl hoots.
Well, all right. If anybody can hit them from a running horse at this distance, you're the man to do it. How'd you make out?
I lifted somebody's hat off.
That's doggone good shooting. Well, that one dumped somebody out of the saddle.
Now stop. Pull, Buckshot. Pull.
Oh, Joker.
Pile off and lie down flat, Jingles.
Well, I'm not so flat even when I lie down. Wow, one of those slugs threw sand in my face.
Give it back to them, Jingles. Keep them down so they can't get a good shot at us.
Well, that's got them flat on their faces. Woo, I guess we haven't got them flat enough.
No, but every minute we can keep them pinned down, those riders behind us are getting closer.
Yeah, look back, Bill. 20 riders spread out and coming across the valley like a cavalry charge.
Sure looks good.
Ow! Wow! That's enough looking back, Bill. Those varmints are getting too good with their shooting.
Did you get hit?
Well, not exactly. I just got sort of creased on the part of me that sticks up the highest. You doggone varmint! Get down in the dirt where you belong!
All right. Reload your gun, Jingles. Let's get ready to ride in with them.
I'm getting ready. I want the one that threw that last slug at me. Now, there
you go, boy.
Here
we go. Alert, Bill. Gun now.
Hiya, Captain. Come on, Buckshot. Let's go.
Get Joker, and if you see any bullets coming, die. Ha, ha, ha.
Bill, you and Jingles sure saved that gold shipment for us.
Well, we're even, Captain. Because you and your men sure saved Bill and Jingle.
The main thing is that we got the whole gang rounded up.
That's right. We'll make the trip a lot more pleasant from here on in.
Yep, now that I can relax, I'm going to enjoy this rolling along with the wagon train.
How far is it to Tombstone, Captain?
Well, with good luck, we'll be there by the end of next week, Bill. Then all of us can celebrate. Tombstone, Arizona's really a rip-roaring town.
Well, I ain't gonna rip and roar. I'm gonna eat and sleep. I'm just glad that I didn't get to my little tombstone out there in the middle of the valley.
You've just heard another exciting story of Wild Bill Hickok, starring Guy Madison and Andy Devine in person. Today's cast included Jack Crucian, Lou Krugman, Bill Boucher, and Ken Christie. Our story was written and directed by Paul Pierce. This is a David Heyer production, transcribed in Hollywood. Now, this is Charlie Lyon speaking, reminding you to tune this station again when we present another of the adventures of
Wild Bill Hickok!
Wild Bill Hickok on Tuned to Yesterday from January 12, 1953 on the Mutual Broadcasting System. At the very same time, the program was also seen on television with the same principal actors, Guy Madison and Andy Devine, as Wild Bill and Jingles. At the point of that last broadcast, the show was heard 3 times a week, attracting over 5 million listeners to their sets on NBC. You're listening to an hour of old-time radio westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Livonier. And now on to Tales of the Texas Rangers with a story of true crime called Double Edge. This NBC broadcast first heard on August 3, 1952.
Tales of the Texas Rangers, starring Joel McRae as Ranger Jace Pearson. Another authentic reenactment of a case transcribed from the files of the Texas Rangers. Names, dates, and places in the following story are fictitious for obvious reasons. The events themselves are a matter of record.
I'd like to talk to the ladies for a moment. We can't eliminate your work for you. I wish we could. But if your job is keeping a home in order, we'll try to lighten the load with a series of wonderful weekday radio shows on this same NBC station. Walter O'Keefe is your genial host on Double or Nothing, and O'Keefe's okay. Set your dial to Double or Nothing, and the laughter will add a bit of brightness to your day. Another friend of yours is radio's Warren Hull, who daily presides over Strike It Rich, the program with a heart, the program that can give you a lift while bringing financial happiness to a contestant. Dave Galloway is another gloom chaser in NBC's daytime schedule. And Bob and Ray, this year's Peabody Award-winning comics, make subtle fun of radio in a rib-tickling way, so be sure to include them in your listening, too. Yes, as I said before, I wish we could eliminate your housework, but since we can't, maybe listening to these fine NBC shows will help to pass the time more quickly. Why don't you try it out, tomorrow and every day this week? Now, Tales of the Texas Rangers.
And now, from the files of the Texas Rangers, the case called Double Edge.
It is 11:30 on a Monday morning in June during the early 1920s. In the town of Holden, Texas, an elderly woman puts through a telephone call to the bank.
That's right, operator. 423J. Now you be quiet, baby. You know your mother doesn't like you to cry.
Hello?
Mr. Vance?
Yeah?
This is Agatha Winford. How are you today?
Oh, just fine, thanks, Miss Winford. Say, would you hold on a second, please? Just a minute. Mm. Yeah, you're back, Miss.
Oh, well, I'm over here at Miss Johnson's minding her baby while she's marching, and I thought she wouldn't mind if I used her phone to call you.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, I just got a notice from you this morning, and I want to tell you the bank's made an awful mistake in my account.
What is the mistake, Miss Swisher?
Well, I know I've got $43 left in my checking account, but that notice you sent said I've only got $23. Now, that's just not so.
Now, we're very careful here, ma'am. Maybe you made some kind of mistake in your dishes.
No, I didn't.
Would you please excuse me, Miss Winford. Can you hold on while I take care of a customer here?
Well, all right.
Thank you. Yes,
well, I'll be with you in a minute, baby. Baby. Baby, Oh, well. Now, baby, don't you cry. a good baby. Now, you just be nice while I finish up with Mr. Vance here. Mr. Vance?
Now, look. Give me all the money you got.
Still busy.
Put it in this paper bag. All right, now, wait a minute. Here, give me the rest. In the back of the drawer.
Huh? Mr. Vance.
What are you talking?
Oh.
That's all I got.
Were
you kidding? Go over that other drawer and clean it out.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
What am I
going to
do?
What's this phone doing off the hook?
I don't know.
Oh. Hang it up.
Yes, sir. Oh. This is awful. Operator. Operator. Oh, why don't you answer? Operator. Operator.
Mrs. Winford notified the sheriff that the bank was being held up. Within a matter of minutes, the sheriff raced to the scene, only to find that the holdup men had already made a getaway. After a preliminary survey, the sheriff requested assistance from the Texas Rangers. Ranger Jace Pearson was assigned and arrived at the bank 15 minutes later.
Over here, Jace.
Howdy, Sheriff.
I'm glad you could get here so fast.
I was only about 10 miles away when my headquarters contacted me.
Fellas that held up this place sure had a lot of nerve.
How many were there?
Only two, as far as I can gather. One of them kept the customers in the back. The other one got the money from the teller. Took nearly $6,000.
Anybody able to identify them?
Nope. They were both wearing bandanas over their faces.
How about their getaway? Anybody see them after they left the bank?
Not a soul that I could find. Seems like they just disappeared into thin air. We did get one break, though.
What's that?
Well, the teller keeps an extra $200 in his drawer just in case the bank is held up. 10-20s with a special marking.
How are the bills marked?
There's a green dot inked in under the first letter of the serial number. Naturally, the bank's got a record of the numbers.
That'll help us some. We'll get out a circular. By tomorrow morning, every bank and police officer in Texas will have a copy.
It beats me how these fellows had so much nerve. Had it planned right down to the last move. They even took into consideration... Oh, there's Jim Vance coming out of that office. He's a teller. Reckon he's bringing that list of serial numbers. Got that list of numbers for us, Jim?
Yes, sir. It's right here. But there was something else I want to see about.
What's that?
Well, now, I forgot all about this in the excitement. The man who was holding the customers in the back, he passed me on his way out.
Yeah?
Seemed to be having trouble with his bandana. It slipped down a little just as he got alongside my window.
You mean you got a look at his face?
Oh, no, sir. Not exactly. But I did say one thing. Remembered it while I was writing out those numbers just now. He had a mole under his eye. Pretty good size one, too.
Which eye was it under?
Right. No, I got it twisted. I was facing him, so it must have been his left eye.
Well, at least we got some information for that bulletin, Jace.
Yeah, let's put it on the wires. We broadcast the list of serial numbers and a vague description of the bank robbers. The first day brought no results. On the morning of the second day, I received a call from Sam Crane, constable in the town of Compton, 30 miles from the scene of the robbery. He told me the bank in Compton had reported receiving one of the marked bills the day before. The sheriff wasn't free at the moment, so I went to Compton alone. 10 that morning, I entered the constable's office.
Well, Jay.
Howdy, Crane.
Good to see you again. Real good. It's been a long time since we worked together.
Over a year. What about that marked bill? Bank tell you who brought it in?
It took the bank a little while to find out. Had to go through all their deposit slips from yesterday. Finally told me it was the owner of a hardware store here. A man by the name of Allen.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah, and we might be lucky. It was the only 20 in his deposit for yesterday.
Haven't you checked him yet?
Well, no. I thought it might be better if you did it. See, Allen and I don't get along very well. Don't think he'd be too cooperative with me. This thing's too important to take a chance.
Uh-huh. Tell me where his place is. I'll go see him.
It's just down the street. I'll go along with you, Jace, but if you don't mind, I'll let you do the talking.
Sure. You figure this Allen could have been involved in the robbery himself?
Him? Oh, no, Jace. Old man Allen's over 60.
How come you two don't get along?
Well, about a year ago, I bought some tools from him. No good, any of them. The old buzzard never would let me have my money back.
I sure hope he can give us something to go on.
Well, if Allen does remember who handed him this bill, my guess is it'll turn out to be somebody who just passed through Compton.
Maybe so.
Constable.
Oh, howdy, Miss Palmer.
Constable, have you had any luck?
Well, to tell the truth, I've been pretty busy since you came in this morning. Anyhow, I was sure your husband would be back by now.
He's not. I told you he went out yesterday afternoon right after he got that phone call. Jeff never stayed away like this without saying where he was going.
Now, Mrs. Palmer, he'll turn up.
But he didn't even take the car. Whenever he goes away, he always takes it.
Maybe he's over at his brother's place. Bet you haven't even called there, have you?
Well... No, I haven't.
Well, why don't you go home, then? He's probably been trying to reach you.
But it's 20 miles over to his brother's house. He couldn't get there without the car.
Well, maybe he got a ride. Now, you run along home before he gets worried, wondering why he can't reach you.
Well... All right, Tom.
Keeping you busy, huh?
Yeah. That husband of hers is always taking off.
Are you sure he's not missing?
Nah. Jeff Palmer takes a notion to go somewhere, he goes. He's only been away one night.
Uh-huh.
I swear it never rains but it pours. For 3 weeks, nothing's happened here. Now I got more work than I can handle. Well, here's the hardware store. Hope old man Allen's memory's better than I think it is.
Oh, it's you, Constable. Thought I told you I didn't want to do business with you no more.
Don't worry, Allen. I wouldn't think of buying anything from this store. Ranger Pearson here wants to ask you a few questions.
Well, all right. What's on your mind, Ranger?
We have that bill, Crane.
For sure, Jay.
Mr. Allen, you deposited this bill in the bank yesterday.
What's the matter? Counterfeit?
It's part of the money that was stolen from a bank in Holden.
Oh, you mean in that big robbery over there on Monday?
That's right.
That's so. I read about it in the paper.
This was the only 20 you deposited yesterday. Do you remember who brought it in here?
Let me see. No, Ranger, don't reckon I do.
I was afraid he wouldn't, Jase.
Just what do you mean by that, Constable?
Now, wait a minute, both of you.
I'm sorry, Ranger. Just give me a second or two. Maybe I can remember the fellow that brought it in.
Take your time.
See now. No, it's no use. I just can't bring him to mind.
Do you have any idea if it was yesterday morning or in the afternoon you got the bill?
Couldn't say.
What time do you take the money to the bank?
About 2:30, same time I always do.
I see. And how much cash do you usually have on hand when you open the store in the morning?
Well, maybe $25, $30. Just enough to make change.
If somebody handed you a $20 bill any time before noon, it would pretty much clean out your cash drawer, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I reckon it would.
Well, then isn't it a pretty good chance you received the bill sometime between noon and the time you went to the bank?
Well, I never thought of it that way. But I still don't... Oh, wait a minute. Yep, it's coming back to me now. I just finished eating, and this fella come in and bought a box of shotgun shells. He was the one that gave me the 20.
You sure about that?
Yes, I'm sure.
Did you know the man, Mr. Allen?
Well, I've seen him around town. I don't know his name. Could be lives in one of them farms outside Compton.
Could you give us a description of him?
Well, I ain't much of a hand at telling people what other people look like.
Well, do you remember if he had a mole under his left eye?
Mole? To tell you the truth, Ranger, I'm just not sure. Maybe he did, but I can't swear one way or the other.
All right, Mr. Allen. Thanks a lot.
One thing I'll say, if I was to see this fellow again, I'd know him.
I hope we can show him to you soon. Come on, Crane. Let's get back to your office.
I still think the old man made a mistake, Jase. That bank job wasn't pulled by any local boys.
Maybe not. There's no doubt one of the men we're after was around here. We've got to see if he's still around.
Miss Palmer, what are you doing here?
I'm sorry to make a fuss to myself, Constable.
That's all right.
I called Jeff's brother, and he isn't over there. I don't know where he is.
No, he'll turn up.
Something's happened to him. I know it. Ranger, maybe you can help me. Isn't there anything I can do to find my husband?
Well, you could have the constable file a missing persons report. That way all the police in the state would be on the lookout for him.
Will you do that, Constable?
Oh, sure, Miss Palmer, but I think before you do that, you ought to give Jeff a little longer to show up.
I can't wait any longer. I couldn't sleep all last night. I know something's happened to him.
All right, I'll file a report. It's so long since I filled one out, I'm not even sure I've got the form.
I got some in the car if you need them.
Oh, here's one. Now, Mrs. Palmer, you're all upset. Why don't you go on home? I'll fill this out myself.
Don't forget, Crane. Mrs. Palmer has to sign the form.
Oh, yeah.
Probably be better if she fills in the description, anyhow.
What kind of a description do you need, Ranger?
The usual description. Height, weight, color of hair and eyes. Anything we can use to identify him.
Well, Jeff looks just about like anybody else.
No two people are alike, Mrs. Palmer. There must be something that's different about him.
I can't think of anything, except maybe a mole.
What's that?
He's got a mole under his left eye.
In just a moment, we will continue with Tales of the Texas Rangers, starring Joel McRae as Ranger Jase Pearson.
As a civilian at home, what is your obligation to a soldier in a foxhole in Korea? Maybe you haven't considered that question. If you haven't, it's understandable. A foxhole in Korea is pretty remote, after all, from your everyday life. And it wouldn't help if you were constantly worrying. But if you have stopped to consider it, the least we can do here at home in the States is to help keep America financially strong. That's the best way to back up the men in the Army, Navy, and Air Force. One of the best ways to help keep America financially strong is to buy United States defense bonds regularly.
If you think you can't afford it, look into the payroll savings plan where you work. You'll probably change your mind. You can have any amount you specify saved from each paycheck. When there's enough for a defense bond, it is purchased and turned over to you. And remember, today defense bonds offer you more interest, a quicker return on your money. They're now even better. Invest more in defense bonds. Now, Tales of the Texas Rangers.
We continue now with Tales of the Texas Rangers and our authentic story, Double Edge.
I was fairly sure now that Jeff Palmer was one of the two men we were after. Continued questioning of his wife convinced me she knew nothing of the bank robbery. We put out an APB on Palmer. 3 days later, I had a call from the sheriff. A man whose description matched Palmer's had been found dead in a creek near Compton. The quickest way for me to get there was on horseback through 2 miles of brush. When I reached the creek, I forded it, headed upstream to the spot where the sheriff and his men were waiting. Howdy, Sheriff.
Ah, it's a good thing you had your horse, Jake. Saved you 20 miles of driving.
Yeah, whoa, Charlie, whoa, boy. Who found the body?
Those fellows over there. They were out fishing. Spotted a man's arm sticking out of the water. Body'd been wired to an old log, but it looks like one of the wires worked loose.
Uh-huh. Let's take a look at him.
Yeah, right over here, Jase.
Pretty sure it's Palmer?
Well, description checks with the one his wife signed, so I reckon it's him. Here we are.
Yeah. Shot 4 times. The fellow who did it must have been standing right next to him.
Somebody really wanted to make sure he was dead. I wonder why Palmer was killed.
Well, there's only 2 reasons I can think of. Either to shut him up or keep him from getting his share of the money. Maybe both.
Sounds reasonable. If we find the second man in that bank robbery, we'll probably have the one who killed Palmer. There don't seem to be much to go on.
One thing we can be pretty sure of, he was killed right here.
How do you figure that?
Tent's been made to cover it up, but you can still see quite a bit of blood on the ground here.
Yeah, I noticed that, but I thought he could have been killed somewhere else and brought here.
And then there wouldn't be all this blood. Not much bleeding after death.
Well, it would have been smart of the killer to do the job here. Certainly not many people around.
No, we'll have to go over the area. You check that cabin up on the hill, Sheriff?
Where?
Through those trees.
Oh. No, I didn't notice it before.
The person who lives there could have heard the shots. We'd better talk to him.
Okay. Opening in the brush, we can go up through here.
Uh-huh.
It's pretty much trampled from here on up the hill. Somebody's come down almost to the spot where Palmer was killed.
In the past few days, too, from the look of it.
You think whoever lives in that cabin had something to do with this business?
Could be.
Yeah, they might have been hiding out here together and then... Hey, Jase, a man just ducked behind that tree up there.
Yeah.
Look, he's starting up the hill. Hold it right where you are. Hold it, I said.
Please, Mr. Ranger, I ain't done nothing.
Nobody's saying you have. What's your name?
Dan Bolton, sir.
You live in that cabin up there?
Yes, sir.
Stay around there pretty much, do you?
Most of the time. Except about once a week, I take my mule and go into town.
You heard any shooting around here in the last couple of days?
Yes, sir, I have.
When was this?
Reckon's about 4 days ago. I was smoking some meat back at the cabin. Now I hear some shooting.
Did you come down the hill to see what it was?
Now, Mr. Ranger, please don't ask me no more questions.
Dan, it's very important we find out what happened. You could help us.
Well, all right, sir. As soon as I hear the shots, I come about halfway down the hill.
Could you see anybody?
I seen a man bending over another man on the ground. I ducked down quick here and hear his brush. I was scared if he'd see me, he'd shoot me, too.
Did you see his face?
Yes, sir.
You know who he was?
No, sir.
I don't think you're telling us the truth, Dan.
Mr. Ranger, I just live here in my cabin, and I don't hurt nobody, and I don't want nobody hurting me.
Dan, tell us who the man was you saw down here the other day.
I can't, Mr. Ranger. I'm scared.
Nothing's going to happen to you. I can promise you that.
Well, like I said, I was hiding here in the brush. I didn't see this man's face good till he picked the other man up and carried him over to the creek. Then I see him real plain.
Who was it, Dan?
The constable in the Compton, Mr. Sam Crane.
We questioned the old man further. He was absolutely sure it was Constable Sam Crane he had seen. We took Dan back into town with us. When we arrived at the mortuary where the dead man's body had been taken, we put Dan in an office next to the morgue. And I phoned the constable and asked him to come over as quickly as possible. The sheriff and I stayed in the room with Palmer's body. 5 minutes later, Crane walked in.
I got here as quick as I could, Jase. What's this all... Oh, Sheriff.
Howdy, Crane.
You wanted me for something?
I found the body of a man. It could be Palmer. I'd like you to identify him.
Well, sure, but why me? Why didn't you get Miss Palmer?
We wanted to be sure we were right before we call her down here. There's no use getting her any more upset than we have to.
Well, I didn't know him very well, Jay.
Didn't you? Funny, I got the idea you did.
Is that the body over there?
Yeah, better take a look.
Where'd you find him?
Neck Creek, about 10 miles from here. Pull the sheet back, will you, Sheriff?
Sure, Jay.
Well, Crane?
Oh. You can cover him up again. It's Jeff Palmer. Who killed him?
I thought maybe you could tell us that.
Me?
Where were you at 11:30 Monday morning?
Monday?
Uh-huh. Where were you?
Well, I don't know, Jase. Reckon I was in my office working.
I reckon you weren't, Crane.
Look,
how about Tuesday? The day after the bank was robbed in Holden. The afternoon that Jeff Palmer disappeared.
Jase, why are you asking me all these questions?
Because we think you and Palmer robbed that bank in Holden.
What?
The morning after the stick-up, you got the circular saying some of the money was hot.
Now, wait a minute, Jase.
You went out to warn Palmer. And when you found out he'd already spent some of the money and would probably be traced, you had to shut him up. You took him out the creek and killed him.
You're crazy, Jase. If I did that, you think I'd have reported finding one of the stolen bills?
You had to do that. If you hadn't reported it, the bank would, and you knew it.
That's a pretty serious accusation you're making, Jase.
I wouldn't be making it unless I was pretty sure of what I was saying.
How can you be so sure?
Come into the next room with us, Crane.
What for?
You'll find out. Better take his gun, Sheriff.
Look, you.
Hold still. That's better.
Now, come on.
Fine friend you turned out to be.
You think I like doing this? Dan?
Yes?
Who's this?
Dan, take a look at this man.
Yes, sir.
Do you know him?
Yes, sir.
You sure you know him?
Yes, sir. He's Mr. Sam Crane.
Where'd you see him last?
Mr. Ranger.
Just tell us where you saw him, Dan.
Out the creek at my place.
You liar.
Hold it, Crane.
Dan, when you saw him out at the creek, what was he doing?
He takes some man off the ground and put him in the creek.
That's a lie. Jase, I've known you for 10 years. You're going to take his word against mine?
Yes, I am.
Without giving me a chance?
You had your chance when Palmer's wife came in and reported him missing. You tried to brush her off.
You're a liar.
I didn't know why you were so lax then, but I do now. You were afraid we'd find your partner's body.
Why?
What, you, Jase?
I'll kill you, you liar.
I don't think you will.
Try that again, Crane.
You can't railroad me like this. I'm still a police officer.
That's something I've been ashamed of for the past 3 hours. Come on. During the ride to the county jail, Crane said nothing, but the hate and bitterness showed in his eyes. We booked him for murder and locked him up. We searched his house and found the money from the bank robbery sewed inside a mattress. 2 months later, Crane was tried in the district court of Holden for armed robbery and murder. As the arresting officer, I was subpoenaed and took the stand against him. The trial lasted a week. When the jury left the courtroom, I went outside and stood on the courthouse steps. After a while, the sheriff came out and walked toward me.
Well, it's all over, Jake. Jury recommended the chair. They didn't seem to have any trouble deciding he was guilty.
No, I reckon not.
I didn't know you'd walked out the last of the jury came back. Sorry you didn't get to hear the verdict.
It's all right, Sheriff. I wasn't anxious to hear it.
Jase, you don't mind my saying so. You're taking this thing too hard.
Yeah, maybe so.
Crane is no good. He's rotten clean through. You ought to be glad you helped him get what he deserves.
Somehow I can't feel that way. Bad enough sending a man to the chair any time. Somebody you've known and worked with.
Yeah, I reckon I understand how you feel. The deputies are bringing him out now.
I was hoping I'd see you before they took me away, Pearson.
Hello, Crane.
Wait a minute, boys. I got a few words to say to Pearson here.
Never mind what you've got to say. Charlie, take him on.
Just a second. What were you going to say, Crane?
You think you're pretty smart, don't you? Testifying against me like you did.
I only did what I had to.
Yeah? Well, listen, Pearson. I'll get you. I'll get you over the last thing I do.
Sorry you feel that way.
You hear me, Pearson? I'm going to get you.
Take him away, boys.
I'll get you, Pearson. I'll get you.
Dirty scum. He ought to have his face pushed in.
Come on, Sheriff. Let's go get some coffee. I went back to headquarters. A week later, on the day Crane was to be taken from the county jail to the penitentiary, I received a message saying the sheriff wanted to see me.
I drove to Holden and went to the sheriff's office.
Sorry to bring you all the way back here, Jase. I hope you're not going to be sore at me.
What's up?
Well, it's about Crane. I was supposed to leave for Huntsville with him 2 hours ago.
No trouble, is there?
Oh, no, not a bit. Matter of fact, ever since he was sentenced, Crane's been a changed man.
How do you mean?
Well, his whole attitude's different, Jase. He even asked the judge to move up his electrocution date. Said he wanted to get it over with as quick as possible. And he asked to see you, Jase.
What for?
Yeah, you've got no idea how sorry he is for the way he acted last week. When he begged to see you, well, it was one favor I just couldn't refuse him.
I'm glad you didn't. Where is he?
I got him locked up back here. We're all set to leave. You want to wait till I bring him out?
I'll go with you.
I just can't get over the way he's changed. I reckon it's knowing he's going to die that did it.
Well, whatever it is, I'm happy to hear he has changed. You know how bad I felt about this whole thing.
Yeah, and last week I thought you were wrong. Now I'm ready to eat my words. Here we are. Crane?
Okay, Sheriff.
I got a hold of Jase for you.
Oh. Thanks, Sheriff.
Hello, Crane.
Jase, I don't know how to say this.
Don't worry about it. I understand.
No, I've got to say it. I figured out a dozen ways of telling you, and none of them seems right. I reckon the best way is just to say I'm sorry.
That's all right, Crane.
I've been thinking about it the way I blew off at you. I was wrong. You just did what you had to do. Jase, will you shake hands with me?
Sure, I will.
I reckon we better get moving, boys.
Would you do a favor for me, Jase?
If I can.
There's a girl over in Compton. We've been going together a few years. Might have been married someday.
You want me to go see her?
Would you, Jase? Drop in on her every now and then and see if she's getting along all right.
I'll be glad to.
I'd like to show you a picture of her. Sheriff, is that my satchel over there?
Yeah. All packed and ready to go.
There's a picture of my girl in it. Could I have it?
Sure, Crane.
It's right on top. I feel real sorry for her, Jase. All the publicity.
This it in the leather frame?
Yeah. I never deserved a girl like her in the first place.
Here you are.
Thanks. What do you think of her, Jase?
Pretty girl.
You bet she is. Here, let me get it into a better light. Now you can see what I wanted you to see.
Jake, you've got a razor blade.
Yeah, I told you I'd get you.
Just a little late.
My arm.
Drop that blade.
Drop it.
Now put the cuffs on him, Sheriff.
Yeah.
You dirty louse.
Should have known better than to trust him. Where'd you get that razor blade anyhow?
He had it hidden in the picture frame.
Hey, your hand's bleeding, Jake. Did it get you bad?
Just nicked me a little.
Should have been your throat.
I told you to shut up.
Come on, Crane.
The last favor you'll get from me.
Get your lousy paws off me.
Come on.
Sheriff, I hope you got room in your car for one more. This boy needs lots of company.
In just a moment, we will tell you the results of the case you have just heard.
Monday means music on NBC, and tomorrow evening you're invited to relax in your favorite easy chair or outdoors where you can catch a breath of a breeze and listen to the finest in musical entertainment on NBC. The Railroad Hour once again will bring you an original operetta by Jerry Lawrence and Bob Lee, with music composed and conducted by Carmen Dragon. Your Railroad Hour host, Gordon McRae, will be joined by lovely Lucille Norman to bring you Starlight. Later, the Telephone Hour will present the brilliant young pianist, Nicole Auriol, as the special guest of the evening. And, of course, Monday's musical entertainment wouldn't be complete without the Voice of Firestone. Tomorrow evening, the Voice of Firestone presents soprano Roberta Peters and the music of Howard Barlow and the Firestone Orchestra and Chorus. Yes, Monday night is truly a night to relax and beat the heat by finding the coolest spot available and listening to NBC's great musical programs. Be sure to hear them all tomorrow. Now, the conclusion of Tales of the Texas Rangers.
And now, here are the results of the case you have just heard.
Sam Crane was taken to Huntsville Penitentiary and confined in the special cell block set aside for condemned prisoners. 93 days later, still defiant, he died in the electric chair.
Next week, Joel McRae in another authentic reenactment of a case from the files of the Texas Rangers. Joel McRae is currently seen in San Francisco Story, a Warner Brothers release. The cast included Tony Barrett, Virginia Gregg, Frank Gerstle, Parley Bear, Paul McVeigh, and Robert Bice. Technical advisor was Captain M.T. Lone Wolf Gonzalez of the Texas Rangers. This story was transcribed and adapted by Charles E. Israel, and the program was produced and directed by Stacy Keach. Tales of the Texas Rangers is heard each week overseas through the worldwide facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. Hal Gibney speaking.
Tonight, hear the Hollywood Bowl concert on NBC.
Tales of the Texas Rangers on Tuned to Yesterday, broadcast on the 3rd of August, 1952 on NBC. And that wraps up this hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden years. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVonier. Thanks for tuning in.